For the scripture reading this morning, we turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and the text is verse 7. We will also be looking at verse 6 through the course of the preaching to help us understand verse 7 and some of the surrounding verses as well. Let's first read the whole chapter, 1 Peter 5. Peter here is writing to pilgrims and strangers, and he's giving them final exhortations. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So far we read God's holy and infallible word. The text is verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, everywhere in the Bible, God gives us encouragement to pray. Already the Psalter numbers that we've sung are all encouragements for us to pray. Listen for a moment while I give just a few verses from the Bible that are an encouragement for us to pray. In Psalm 50, verse 15, God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee." In Psalm 102, verse 17, we read, "God will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer." In Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19, we read, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee." In the New Testament, Jesus, in Luke 18, gives an entire parable just to emphasize how God's people ought always to be praying. In fact, he gives two parables. But in Luke 18, verse 1, we read, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, and not to faint." Think of what the Apostle Paul writes at the end of some of his letters, at the end of Philippians. In Philippians 4, verse 6, he writes, "Be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall preserve your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." At the end of his next letter to the Colossians, he writes the same thing, "Continue in prayer." At the end of his first letter to the Thessalonians, he writes, "Pray without ceasing." Over and over again, the Scriptures encourage us to pray. And here for the preaching this morning, we're just going to dwell on one other passage of Scripture that gives us a strong exhortation to pray. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." And as we consider all these passages, what we need to be mindful of is the fact that it's not just the Apostle Paul who's encouraging us to pray. It's not just David the psalmist who's encouraging us to pray, but it's God Himself in these passages. God Himself is exhorting us to pray. Your Creator, your Maker, who's fashioned you and who knows you through and through, who knows what will be good for you, who knows what you need, He exhorts you with strong exhortations. Pray. He who is your Redeemer, your Father, who knows your struggles and your daily stresses and the responsibilities He puts on you, He exhorts you. Pray. Always be praying. And sometimes we need that encouragement, don't we? Maybe even just thinking about what we've already heard, we look at our devotional lives and yes, I need to be praying. I need to be praying. Well, this morning we just have another portion of God's Word that gives us a strong encouragement to pray. We take as our theme, casting all our care upon the Lord. And we look at that theme under 3 points. First, we look at the command. Second, we look at the reason. And third, the benefit. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all our cares upon the Lord. The command in verse 7 is this, casting all your care upon Him. Now that language might not sound like a command, but it is a command. And we know it's a command because of what we read in verse 6. Verses 6 and 7 are intimately connected to each other. They're part of the same sentence. And at the beginning of verse 6, we have a command, humble yourselves. And that's the main verb in the sentence. That's the command, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And then in verse 7, as part of the same sentence, you have the attending duty that we must perform as we humble ourselves. Cast your care upon the Lord. As you humble yourself, cast your care upon the Lord. So it is a command. So that's the first point of the sermon. This is a command. Now to understand this command, the first question that we should ask is this. What are cares? Cast, that's going to be the second thing we look at, casting. But first, our cares. What are cares? Well, to really understand what Peter is getting at here, we need to look at verse 6. Because it all ties in together. Verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And as you are doing that, as you are humbling yourselves under the mighty hand of God, cast your care on Him." So that's how these verses fit together. And so to answer the question, what are our cares? We have to look at verse 6 briefly and ask, what does that mean in verse 6? Because then we'll get a better understanding. Verse 6, humble yourselves. Well, to humble ourselves, here, at least in this passage, means acknowledging who God is as God over my life. To humble myself means that I recognize that my life does not belong to me. but my life belongs to God. It belongs to God not only because of who He is as my God, my creator, my maker, who's formed me, who's given me this life, but also because He's my redeemer and He's my savior. He's purchased me with His own shed blood, the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's the one who owns me in a double sense as creator and redeemer. He's also now the one who rules over my life. He's the one who directs my life. He's the one who's purchased me and He's got a purpose with my life. He's the potter, I'm the clay. This is His life to do with as He sees fit. That's what it means to humble ourselves, to have that posture. I am not God. God is God. And then to humble ourselves also means that we're not seeking our own wills, we're not seeking our own purposes or living for ourselves, but we are the servants of the Lord. We're seeking His purpose, His will with our lives, and then we're servants of one another for Christ's sake. That's the opposite of pride, right? Pride, what is pride? Pride is, to be proud is to be self-seeking, to seek my own personal advancement, my own pleasure. And that's pride because when I live that way, I'm having this attitude that I should be living for myself. My own glory, my own honor, my own pleasure, my own welfare. And so to be humble, the opposite, is to esteem others better than myself, to esteem God above all, and then to esteem others better than myself, and then serve for others, and to seek their good, and as Peter says, be subject one to another. And then to be humble ultimately means that we acknowledge God is the one we are to live for. He's the one who deserves all my devotion, all my strength, all my health, all my trust, all my obedience. We acknowledge that, and then we actually live that way. That's what humility is. That's verse 6, humble yourselves. And then it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And what that, in part, is referring to is the fact that these saints to whom Peter is writing were suffering. That's what he means by the mighty hand of God that's being pressed upon them because they're suffering. And specifically, they're suffering persecution. That's clear from the whole book of 1 Peter. You can read it in every chapter. It even comes up here in chapter 5. Notice verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the earth. The same afflictions. You're going through afflictions. You're struggling. And you need to know this, that your brothers and sisters in the world elsewhere are experiencing the same thing. But the point is, so you're going through afflictions. The saints were going through afflictions. Verse 10 as well. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. And the language there, Peter's being very gentle with that language. What he's implying is that they've been suffering for some time already. And they're in the middle of persecution. And Peter has good hopes for them as far as their future. So what Peter means by the mighty hand of God is the sufferings that God's people are experiencing in the world. And it includes not just persecution, but it really includes all our sufferings, whatever it may be. Afflictions in the body, sicknesses, injuries, afflictions of the mind, afflictions of the soul, grief, discouragement. And Peter refers to it all under that phrase, the mighty hand of God. All the trials and struggles that God sends us in His providential dealings with us, we can refer to that as the mighty hand of God, especially as they are afflictions and trials. So, yes, there are enemies who persecute the church. There are diseases and sicknesses that afflict God's people. And you can point to many other things that bring about suffering. But in the end, it's all under the rule and the superintendence of our Heavenly Father. And that's what Peter's confessing here in verse 6, and when Peter writes, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, Peter means that we need to humbly confess that all these things, these circumstances that we are in, are coming to us from our Heavenly Father. He is the Lord over all. He is sending us these things. And even as he's pleased to send us these things, we are to receive these things with patience, humility, with trust, and even with praise on our lips. Humble yourselves. When God sends us persecution, or sickness, or pain of one kind or another, we are to receive it as part of his sovereign will for our lives, his good will for our lives, and we are to humble ourselves by submitting to his will, and then even in those circumstances, seeking his praise and his glory as we endure through the sufferings. We humble ourselves by embracing God's rule and providence over our lives, and then by clinging to his commandments and doing his commandments as we live through these sufferings he sends us. That's what he's getting at in verse 6. And I explain verse 6 in some detail because it helps us understand what Peter is talking about in verse 7 when he says, cast your care upon the Lord. Well, verse 6 is helpful, first of all, for two things. It tells us when we are to cast our cares upon the Lord. When are we supposed to cast our cares upon the Lord? We are to cast our cares upon the Lord at the exact same time that we are humbling ourselves and seeking to embrace in the deepest recesses of our heart God's rule and God's purposes and God's commands for our lives. While you are striving to be God's faithful servant, while you are responding to his providential dealings with you and these circumstances he's put you in, while you are striving to do his will and love your neighbor and submit yourselves to one another, while you are striving to live in humility, at the very same time as you're doing all of this, cast your cares upon the Lord. That's when you're supposed to do it. And then second, verse 6 is important because it tells us what cares the apostle has in mind, right? That's the question we are looking at. What are these cares the apostle has in mind? Well, the cares that Peter has in mind are the sufferings we experience as we live under the providential rule of God. Whatever that may be, persecution, physical sickness, mental struggles, heartache, discouragement. These are the cares we are to cast upon the Lord. Every care you have as you walk your pilgrim journey, every care you have as you're living as a stranger, living unto God and seeking his will for your life, every care you have along the way, you are to cast on the Lord. And in fact, the word that Peter uses for cares in verse 7 is the word that we could translate as the word anxieties. Cast your anxiety upon the Lord. Cast your worry upon the Lord. Cast your concern on the Lord. You see, these saints to whom Peter was writing had anxieties. They were being persecuted. Their faith was being severely tried. They lived each day in the acute awareness that they were pilgrims and strangers in the earth, that they were unwanted by their neighbors. They had anxieties. They had worries. They had cares. That's what Peter's talking about. Well, we have cares too today, don't we? We have anxieties as well. Concerns. What are some of your cares as individuals or as a congregation? I don't know what your concerns are. Maybe you have concerns about your daily needs. When I originally preached this sermon, I mentioned the crops and, you know, by extension, your need for daily bread, right? Your work, your financial obligations. You have financial obligations. You have to pay the bills, the mortgage, or feed the mouths of your children. You have car payments. And you have the work that you're doing. And you have the desire, you have the care that God bless your industry, that God bless your business, your labors. We have cares over our work, all kinds of cares. Our relationships with our bosses or employees or coworkers. Think about maybe the cares for your family members. Maybe the cares for your children. Maybe about their education. What kind of education are they getting? Or what kind of relationships do they have? Friendships, dating relationships. Maybe you see them grow up and you see them in these dating relationships, or you want them to have these dating relationships, and you have cares, you have concerns. Maybe you have concerns over your spouse. Husbands sometimes have a deep concern over their wives when they see their wives struggling in their calling and vocation in life. And they know that they can sense the burden that their wives are bearing, and it falls on them too. And wives have the same thing, a deep concern over their husbands when they see their husbands struggling or stressed. All kinds of struggles. Maybe we're busy raising a large family. Maybe we're busy caring for aging parents. Maybe we have emotional burdens or mental health concerns. We have cares. Think about old age. Maybe as you age, you wonder how things are going to turn out. I preached this sermon elsewhere, and I have a note here. Maybe you have a husband in the hospital with a broken hip and blood clots in his lungs. That was what was going on in a church lately where I preached this sermon a few years ago. Maybe you have spiritual cares. Maybe there's a besetting sin in your life that you need to get rid of once and for all. Maybe you do see Satan as a roaring lion prowling about, seeking whom he may devour. And you feel your own spiritual vulnerability, your own weaknesses, and it's distressing to you. Maybe you're struggling over the guilt of your sins. Maybe you have cares for the church. Will the church remain faithful to the truth? Or will she stand in the evil day? Or maybe will the church become pharisaical and be overcome with a judgmental spirit? And the love is lost. There are all kinds of things over which we have no control. All kinds of things that God sends us by His hand of providence. Painful experiences we go through. Maybe it is persecution. All these things that Peter refers to as the mighty hand of God. And these things raise up cares and anxieties in our hearts. These are the things Peter is talking about. You're striving to follow God's will for your life. You're striving to humble yourself under God's hand in these circumstances. And God sends you difficult things, heavy responsibilities, and you have cares. You have anxieties. That's what our cares are. What are we supposed to do with these cares and anxieties and concerns? Well, what Peter says in the command is this: cast your care upon the Lord. So now we look at the word cast. What does that word cast mean? Well, it's very striking because there's only one other place in the New Testament where this specific word is used, and that is in Luke 19, verse 35. In Luke 19, we have Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem just days before his crucifixion. And before he enters Jerusalem, he needs to make the proper arrangements. So you remember what he does. He sends two of his disciples to fetch a young donkey, a colt. And his disciples bring that donkey back to Jesus. And we read in Luke 19, verse 35, that the disciples bring the donkey to Jesus and they, quote, cast their garments upon the colt. And they set Jesus thereon, end quote. Now that's striking. These disciples had their outer garments, their robes, and they take off those outer garments off their own shoulders, and they cast it, they throw it upon the donkey, and Jesus sits on the robes on the donkey. You say, well, why is that so striking? Well, it's striking for this reason. When the disciples cast their robes upon the donkey, it obviously means that these robes were no longer on the disciples, right? If the garments were on the donkey, then the garments were no longer still on the disciples. And the point there is this: there was a transfer that took place from the disciples to the donkey. They cast their garments on the colt. There was a transfer. And now that same word is used here. And that's what we need to do with our anxieties. Just as the disciples cast their garments upon the colt, so we need to cast our anxieties on the Lord. And if we cast our cares upon the Lord, well, clearly that means that our cares are no longer on us, right? A transfer has taken place. The cares are off our backs. And the point, the simple point is this. God, as our Heavenly Father, doesn't just exhort us to whine to Him about all our anxieties and then finish our prayers still carrying our anxieties on our own shoulders. No, God is giving us the command, cast them on me. Put them on the Lord. Have Him wear your anxieties. Have Him carry your cares. Make a transfer so that you are no longer carrying your cares and anxieties. Put it on the Lord. So what does the word cast mean? It means this. Bring your cares before God, take them off your own shoulders, and put them on the Lord. Make your cares God's responsibility. Put your burden of anxiety on the Lord. We might say, let the Lord worry about it. Here, Lord, are all my concerns. And not only are these things outside of my control, but they're too heavy for me to bear. And Thou, You are my burden bearer, and I trust You. And so all my worries and concerns, let them be Your worries. After all, You're the sovereign one. You're my Father who loves me, and You're also the sovereign one who's the only one who can really do something about these cares and concerns. So I'm leaving these worries in Your hands. You see, our cares and concerns are like a weight on our shoulders, and we have to put that weight on the Lord. Let Him carry it. Hand your concerns over to God so that they are His responsibilities. And how do we do that? Well, we do that through two things, faith and prayer. Those are the two hands, you might say, by which I take this robe of my anxieties and I cast it on the Lord. The hands of faith and prayer. Faith, because it's really by faith that we're trusting in God, trusting that He will care for our anxieties. And we need prayer because prayer is, you might say, the actual way that we make the transfer. And we put them on the Lord so that they're no longer on us through faith and prayer, which go together. So God says to us in this text, while you are humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, while you are submitting to my hand of providence and going through difficult experiences, cast your cares on me. And this is a command. This is something God requires us to do. This is something we must do. And Peter writes it this way because he cares for these saints and he wants them to remain strong. That's the command. Well, the question is, why? What's the reason we have for doing this? So, and that's, Peter gives that in the second half of the verse. For He cares for you. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Literally, we could translate it like this. Casting all your care upon Him. For to Him, because to Him is care concerning you. Why are we to cast our anxieties on the Lord? Because everything that causes legitimate anxiety for you is of deep concern to your Heavenly Father. The Creator of heaven and earth is not indifferent to your earthly circumstances. He cares for you. What you are going through matters to Him. He's your Father. Think about even an earthly father. When the child of an earthly father is struggling and has concerns and worries, it matters to his father if his father is worthy of that name. Well, how much more so isn't it the case with God, our Heavenly Father? And this is something that we need to appreciate. We really need to soak this in because this is where the struggle often is. So often I can ask myself, why does it seem so difficult to cast these anxieties on the Lord, to make the transfer? That's a hard thing. Why? Why does it seem so difficult to make that transfer? Well, we can list a number of things. It's difficult because what we often struggle with is being humble. I struggle with humbling myself under the mighty hand of God. Instead of seeking God's purposes, submitting to His will, I am pursuing myself. My own purposes and my own earthly glory and ambitions. And you can't do that and at the same time cast your cares on the Lord. You can't be rebelling against God's providential dealings with you and then at the same time cast your cares upon Him. It doesn't work that way. Secondly, perhaps putting it the same way but in different words, saying the same thing but in different words, it's difficult to cast our burden upon the Lord because we want the control. That's why I worry about things. That's why I become anxious, because I feel like I'm not in control. I've had that shown to me again, and I want the control. And what we have to learn, what we have to recognize, is that God is in control, and therefore I don't have to be. God is in control, and it is well then with me. Everything is okay. Better that God is in control than me. So those are two reasons it's so difficult for us to fully cast our cares on the Lord. But ultimately then, to get at the root of it, the problem is this. I have a hard time actually trusting that God cares for me. Right? It comes down to faith. I have a hard time believing the Scriptures when it says God cares for me. The deepest issue is my faith. Am I trusting Him as my Father? In prayer, when I bring my petitions before God, am I actually putting my trust in Him? Or am I just dwelling on my anxieties and making a list before God of what my anxieties are? That's not what God calls us to do. Don't make a list. Cast them on me. And here's the issue. In direct proportion to my confidence that God cares for me, I will perform the command of casting my cares upon the Lord. In direct proportion to my confidence, being confident that God cares for me, I can perform the command of casting my cares upon Him. I will only cast my cares on the Lord to the extent that I know He cares for me. That's just the reality. To the extent that I know who He is as my Father, my friend, my Savior, to the extent that I know who He is as Almighty God, all-wise and faithful, to the extent that I know these things, I will cast my cares upon Him. And that's why this morning, as the preacher, I need to emphasize to you, beloved, that your God is not indifferent to you. God, Jehovah, loves you. He loves you. He cares for you. To Him is care concerning you. Your cares matter to God. He is your Father. You confess in the name of Jesus Christ. You are Christians. And that means God is your Father for the sake of Jesus. And when His children cry, He is the Father who cares for His children, who comforts them and wipes away their tears, who goes to them. And He is not the kind of Father who is against you pouring out your heart to Him. God is not against you confessing your anxieties to Him. It's not as if God speaks to you as an insensitive father and says, "Big boys don't cry." It's not as if God says, "Repress your fear and your doubt and your worry. Push your anxieties deeper into your soul." That's not what God says. God says, "Pour out your heart unto me. Cast your burden on the Lord. Communicate with me. I care for you." And furthermore, He is almighty. He is sovereign. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or can even think. He is able, and He will, He promises, to turn everything to our profit. You can leave it in the Lord's hands. Indeed, can you conceive of anyone who is more trustworthy than your Heavenly Father? He who knows the end from the beginning, shall He not know what your needs are? He who is the Almighty, is He not able to work it all for your salvation? And He who's loved you from eternity, shall He unto eternity ever stop loving you? Right? His compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning. Shall he ever faint in showing you his mercy and goodness? That's the reason we can cast our cares upon him. Now, there's also this reality. There are some anxieties that we need to cast away. Not cast them on the Lord, but we need to cast them away. Right? Those anxieties that arise out of a greedy heart. There are anxieties that arise out of my carnal lusts and my ambition. We are worried because we're craving earthly things so much, and God is not pleased to give us these earthly things. And we become impatient, we become anxious. We need to ask God to take those anxieties away, direct our hearts to Him once again. Besides that, there are other anxieties that we are called to bear in a certain sense. I mean, responsibilities that God gives to us. And then God says to us, bear up nobly under these callings and responsibilities. So, to cast our cares upon the Lord doesn't mean that we get to abandon the callings and responsibilities that He gives us. But the point is, in all those responsibilities and duties, there are things you can't control. And all these things that we can't control, we must cast our cares regarding all these things on the Lord and trust it to His keeping, doing so in the knowledge that to Him there is care concerning us. And how do you know that God cares for you? Maybe that's at the heart of the sermon this morning too. How do you know that God cares for you so that you can do this thing? Well, beloved, that's exactly why it's so important to know who we are in Jesus Christ. Behold God's care for you when He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world so that He could suffer and die for your sins, bearing the agonies of hell as the substitute for you. Behold the care of God for you. See how He cared for you when He, God Himself, became man, and God Himself in the flesh descended into the abyss of hell and experienced the fullness of death just so that you might enjoy everlasting life and glory. Peter emphasizes this earlier in 1 Peter chapter 1. He starts out verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. That's not how much God cares for you, that He just spends a pile of gold and silver on you. But you have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And now you are God's adopted child. You are a Christian, are you not? And even think about that. A wonderful miracle has taken place already in you. You've been regenerated. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The only explanation for this reality that I now live is that my Heavenly Father has cared for me from before the foundations of the world. And again, we remember those well-known words from Romans 8. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He forgives your sins, beloved. He does so with delight because He's the God who delights in mercy. He does all things for your sakes. You are His children. You are His bride. You are the apple of His eye. You are His affection. You are His elect. And so whenever you feel yourself under the mighty hand of God, even then, especially then, remember, He cares for you. You may not be able to fit together how God cares for you with all these things that are going on in your life right now. But rest assured, He cares for you. In all that you are, He cares for you. So cast your cares upon Him. Humble yourself before Him. And then throw your anxieties and your fears heavenward. Let God take care of them. You don't need to worry about anything. He's got it under control. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart and He will carry you through. Well, when we cast our care upon the Lord, there is a great benefit we enjoy. We've looked at the command, we've looked at the reason. Now let's also look briefly at the benefit. And this is very important for us to recognize. It's very important to recognize because it's an added encouragement for us to pray. Someone might ask, what's the point? What's the point in praying? If praying isn't going to change these circumstances in my life. Sometimes we can ask ourselves that question, right? I go on my knees and I pray and I pray and I pray and I finish my prayer. I open my eyes, I stand up and I walk my way, and maybe not a single thing has changed in my external circumstances. And maybe they never will. But do you know what the reality is? The reality is, through prayer, something has changed. No matter what, something has changed. You have changed. You have changed as a person. Because before you went to God in prayer, you had all these cares weighing you down. You've had a heavy burden on your shoulders, and you were anxious, you were weighed down. You were barely able to do the actual work that God was calling you to do because you were so weighed down with these cares. But now through prayer, you've cast your cares upon the Lord. You've cast your burden on the Lord, and the result is this. You don't have those cares wearing you down anymore because you've prayed, and you haven't just made a list of your anxieties, but through faith and through prayer, you've cast those anxieties on the Lord. And how important that is for our daily living. When we cast our cares on the Lord, such an enormous weight falls off our shoulders. And then we're free to stand up again and take up our calling with renewed strength. When we've cast all our cares on the Lord, knowing that He cares for us, there's a peace that floods our souls. And we can even be content then with whatever God is sending our way. I'm able to withstand the temptations of the devil better. Right? How difficult it is to withstand temptation when I'm constantly under this weight of worry. But when I'm not worrying, then I can be strong in the battle. When I cast my cares upon the Lord, then I can bear up more forcefully under these true responsibilities that God has given me. And I can clothe myself with humility towards one another. I can submit myself to others around me in the fear of the Lord. Because it's not about my control. It's not about me anymore. When we've cast our cares upon the Lord, that sets us free for greater usefulness for the Master. And the work suddenly takes on a brighter light, and it's more joyful because we've already committed our work unto the Lord in prayer. It's when we've truly cast our cares upon the Lord that we can go forward. We can trust that God will bless our efforts, and we trust that God will provide. I don't need to worry about anything. I rest in the promises of my covenant God, my loving Father, and I set myself fully to do His work with zeal. And then on top of that benefit that I've just mentioned, not carrying this weight of my care and concern, but I have this confidence too. God will grant me what I ask of Him. In true faith. Not only do I have that weight off my back, but I know God hears and answers. He answers my prayer. He doesn't give me everything that I ask. He doesn't grant everything, but He gives me. When I ask for His grace and for His Spirit, when I ask in true faith those things that I need, as I'm just humbling myself under the mighty hand of God, He gives it me. My prayer is never in vain in the Lord. Beloved, what an encouragement. Pray. Pray. In your struggles, your discouragements, your questioning, pray. And be assured that God cares for you. To Him is care concerning you. He will bless you, and He will take care of you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for another word of encouragement from Thy Word. We pray, Lord, etch it upon our hearts, shape our hearts and souls, and shape our lives by it, that we might enjoy this unspeakable gift of prayer, communion with Thee, that Thou hast given us through Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Strengthen us. Use this preaching to strengthen us in this gift. And we pray, give us the grace to cast our cares upon Thee and cause us to experience just how good it is to walk by faith and to experience these blessings that are along the pathway of faith. And we pray that in all this too, Thy name might be magnified as the God who does care, and the God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.